Time now to catch up with Jeff from Acilla Wine. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning to all our listeners. It's technical problems again, Peter. It seems to be our life recently.
Yeah, well, mate, I'm not surprised they haven't put rice bubbles on the line. There is a little bit of crackle.
Yes, well, we've had problems. As you know, we had the problems the last couple of times. We're on the phone now, but because of the way we live, Peter, we're ADSL, so of course our internet is not working hardly at all, which is why we're not using that. But the phone, it's because of the phone lines, they're no good. We live in an area very close to civilization, Peter, but still old copper wires and no access to NBN other than satellite, which we have tried a couple of times very unsuccessfully. No matter what they say about satellite, but if you're doing streaming or anything that requires a good constant signal, you're just out of luck, Peter.
Oh, boy.
And we're out of luck here because these copper wires were, I think, laid by Captain Cook's crew.
And maybe it was Noah and the Ark.
Well, we were chatting before we went on air about 5 years ago. They replaced about half the copper wires, and but they wouldn't do the other half at that time because, you know, it services so few people here. But and as we were joking, and our telephone wires, Peter, they run along the cattle fence. And when it gets to a driveway, it runs underneath the grid just loose. We've twice lost our service because rabbits have chewed the cord. They like the plastic.
Oh, no. Well, mate, if you see a tail hanging out of one of the termination boxes, you know what went wrong.
Yeah. Too bad there's not a little more electricity, Peter, or we could have fresh rabbits.
Yeah. Just turn it over, mate. Turn it over.
Anyway, Peter, I'm glad to see that things are going in our predicted direction from a coronavirus point of view.
Yep.
Interesting, in the paper this morning, New Zealand's decided to unlock their stage 4 lockdown. They're doing barely as good as Australia. Some pundits say that they're not doing quite as well as Australia fighting it. And it's because Australia is not even, well, Australia is stage 3 in some places, but not really in New South Wales because we still have our schools and everything going. And when I was thinking about that this morning, Peter, I was thinking, when was the last time you read in the newspaper that a school student caught the virus or had the virus?
Yeah, it's funny. That tends to be avoided, doesn't it?
Well, I don't recall seeing anything about it. Of course, it's well known now. Statistically, younger people under 20 don't get the virus at near the percentage. And, of course, it doesn't affect them. They don't get quite as ill, and they don't generally die from it. In fact, there was no recorded case of an infant actually dying from COVID-19. But there was a couple of articles about it, but I noticed they disappeared. And in the, you know, world of meter statistics, they don't show up. So it must have eventually been put down for some other type of death. So the schools, the idea of closing the schools is not a good one for this particular infection, because it keeps those children in a safe environment because they don't get it. And when they do get it, they, you know, as I said, it's mild. So I think stage 4 lockdown is a complete matter of waste, and I think New Zealand's just demonstrated that, and they're going to lift the stage 4.
Mate, it is relevant to point out, though, that you know, there was this fallacy that the younger people don't get it. Sorry about that, guys. You know, they have proved that they get it just as well. You know, the group, particularly, you know, in the 20s.
Oh, yeah, they're bad.
Mm-hmm.
30s, yeah.
So the higher we go with age, the more susceptible you are to being infected, which is really sad.
The higher you go in age, the more deadly it is, of course.
Yes, of course.
For old people, and it kills percentage-wise, and it kills the 20s. 20 to 30 and 30 to 40, but they are the biggest group because they're the most mobile group. Do the most kissing and telling.
Yes, kissing, touching, telling, and twaddling, yes.
Yes. I noticed a big article in the paper that, or it's on one of the tracking websites, that Italy, Germany, and Netherlands, and quite a few other countries, Norway, quite a few other countries are easing their lockdown. And the point here is that a lot of those countries still have 2,000-3,000 cases a day.
Good grief.
Germany's got their cases down, by the look of it, around 1,000. But they're unlocking data. We had, I think, 26 cases today, and I think 9 cases yesterday in Australia, as we have long predicted, Peter, here, and projected that that was what was going to happen, because just looking at the statistics and the figures, Peter, it doesn't take a lot of mental acuity to work out which direction we're going. So, I just can't. I see yesterday Randwick Council opened 3 beaches.
Yep.
One of our recommendations for exercise and swimming. I don't know how that works with the government's lockdown. The council says you can go swimming and the police give you a ticket for non-essential travel.
Maybe you're wearing the wrong budgie smugglers.
Yeah, so look, it makes sense, Peter. As I said before, keeping people out of parks, and keeping people off the beaches and that is insane. It's nuts. You make rules if you want to that satisfy social distancing, but you can't, do that sort of thing. We've talked again and again and again, Peter, about the fact we have to learn to live with coronavirus because it's not going to go away. All you got to do is look at China.
Yep.
China seems to have taken care of the little outbreak they had in the northwest near Russia. They were getting up to 80, 100 cases a day there, but I see they're back down around 10 to 20 cases again. I think there were 7 yesterday only. And that's the fact of life. It's been over there for, a month and a half, but they're still having to, deal with cases and occasionally an outbreak, which we will have to as well. We've said time and time again, Peter, that not near enough resources in Australia will put into testing. More in New South Wales and Victoria, by the way. We're about 50% higher in our test rate in New South Wales compared to Victoria. But it's not enough. The secret is you have to keep testing.
Yep.
We need to pour billions into that. And, of course, a big article in the paper, 200 economists published a letter, don't list the thing, the lockdown. It's easy for these guys to say, Peter. They're all employed in universities and, various other people. They're in the type 1 economy, which is the people still employed. The type 2 economy, which has millions of people in it, are unemployed. And it's very easy for the type 1 people to run around saying, oh, do this, do that. It doesn't affect them, Peter. Except when they go in the supermarket, maybe there's no toilet paper. Outside of that, there's zero effect on them.
Yeah, I wonder what type they are then.
Yeah, right. And here's the point. What do economists know about maybe they can calculate like we calculate, but if they do, they'll figure out that it is going down to as low as it's going to go. It's already there, Peter. We might have a few days of 1 or 2 or 0 or even, and that the effect of life is it's going to stay with us. And the government's got to put the money into testing and into what we can sort of call virus detection.
So what are you saying? They should really get off their backside and do something?
Yes, exactly. You can sit there and write a check for 4 billion pensioners for $750, or you can put some money where it's going to do some good and create a, branch of government that's, like detect and kill, or like... once you find, and they're doing it now, they're isolating when they have a case. But they need a much, much better organized all over Australia. Find a case, get in there, find the contact, test them all, get them into self-isolation. That's the future for the time being.
I'll tell you what, mate, it's interesting to see, the effect that this whole thing is having. News this morning that Virgin Australia is now in administration.
I think there's a lot of that, Peter. And the government, we've talked about this before, but it's a serious fact. The government's dishing out hundreds of billions of dollars to try and maintain, food in the mouth of those that are living hand-to-mouth, you know, and have lost their jobs. But you can't keep going back to the kitty. One day you open the box, man, and there's nothing in there.
Nothing there, yeah.
Because you've shut down all the generating capacity, except for the employed civil servants, that's putting money in the kitty. And so if you're going to look at it and say, this is crazy. I see Brazil just lifted their lockdown, and they still got over 1,000 cases a month. And of course, Sweden never went. And I noticed this morning there are about 300 cases. And they've had a series of deaths, but, you know, probably not as much as the regular flu. I was looking at statistics, Peter, and people forget. And I've only got the statistics for 2018. But in 2018, 7,800 people died of bronchial and lung infections, like, you know, chronic respiratory disease here, 5,400. The one I was looking at, 7,800, was to do with other types of infection. But these, you know, like, it's just there's thousands of people that have immune deficiencies that are susceptible every year. And we've gone overboard now. We've got 6 cases or 9 cases yesterday and 26 today, all over Australia.
Uh-huh.
And it just doesn't make any sense to you. That.
Maybe we should get some of the people that are trying to organize this, and as you do with a good cocktail, shake violently.
Yeah, well, you know, how does an outbreak at a hospital in Tasmania affect even Tasmania? If they round up the people, the primary carrier that brought it in, who was one of the Ruby Princess passengers, and they get the contacts in the hospital, if you're the staff starter, and you isolate them. And, you know, it doesn't affect people in Hobart, or, you know, it certainly doesn't affect any people anywhere else in Australia. So it just, you know, there's got to be a bit of rational thinking here, Peter. It's just too much chicken little, as we say, Peter. The sky is falling. The sky is falling.
Mm-hmm.
As our good friend Chicken Little used to say. And we got a hell of a lot of Chicken Littles here, Peter.
Yes, you want to be careful. You might finish up getting plucked.
Anyway, it's definitely going in the right direction. And those with rational thinking capability, Peter, always believed that that would be the case. Social isolation is good. Social isolating is good. But it's time to let people go back to work and businesses. You're not a woman with a dress shop, for example. How many people do you think come into her store a day? You know, a small dress shop, somewhere. 20, 30?
You know, maybe, maybe.
Yeah, and they're not all there at the same time, Peter.
That's right.
You know, it's just insane. You know, you go into the supermarket, you know, and you try and keep your social distancing, and they're trying to ration people there, but, you know, there's a whole bunch of people in there.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, that's getting bad, too, and I notice the fights are breaking out in supermarkets again.
You put people, you convince them they're in dire peril, Peter. That's what's going to happen. So, but anyway, you know, thankfully it's going in the right direction. It's going in the right direction in the United States as well. It's been going down about 10% on average the last 4 or 5 days. Looks like today it's down around, just have a look, about 25,000 or something like that. Was as high as 33,000. What you have to consider if that trend stays, and it looks like it's going to, because it's been like 3 or 4 days now on that trend, then the actual infection cases that are reported lag 6 days, so they could already be down to 15,000 infections a day,
right,
in the United States because of that lag. So. It'll be interesting to see what happens, but they're talking about loosening up as well, even talking about loosening up in New York, where, you know, the center of their problem is. So it just, you know, you can solve a problem, but once it's solved problem, you can't over-solve it, or you can't, you know, you can try, but what you you know, we might go along 3, 4, 5, 10 cases, you know, a day for a week or so and say, oh, gee, we got this lick. And then we're going to have a day of 20 cases or 25 cases. And we're going to say, oh, no, gee, we don't have it licked.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, got to learn to live with it, Peter.
Yep, move on. Move on, definitely.
Okay, well, look, I got one or two minor things here to talk about health. Not that the coronavirus isn't the most health. It was a very interesting study just published, Peter. They've been able to reverse the effects of stroke in mice.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, so there's a very biggie, because stroke is such a debilitating disease. Take a healthy person and it make them completely incapacitated or part of their body incapacitated. But they took human skin cells and they reprogrammed them to be nerve cells and transplanted them into the brain.
Yeah.
They were able to see that they formed new connections, and they were able to repair damage and to give the rats more mobility and capability. So that's a big one, because that'll eventually get into, hopefully it'll get to humans and human health. Because if you know anybody that suffers from stroke, it's terrible.
Yes, yes.
And they have another one here with a good one too, Peter. They've got an experimental drug now that stops cancer in its tracks.
Mm.
It doesn't remove it from your body, it just stops it from growing. And this came out of the Francis Crick Institute, and I'm not sure where that is exactly. I didn't look it up, but it's one of those medical research centers, and it's a drug they called Cuisinostat, by the sound of it, and it stops the tumors. It's been tested on mice. It halted tumor growth, and when it was tested on cells taken from patients with breast, lung, or pancreatic cancer, the cancerous cells were trapped in an undividing state. So that's on humans. That part of it's on humans. So we hope that one comes soon, because that's one of the problems of particularly breast cancer. It usually comes back years later as bone cancer, and it lays dormant for a long time, and then, of course, that's the milder form of breast cancer. The aggressive breast cancer is, of course, very hard to treat. So they're all good, Peter, and we see these articles again and again and again. So, and it's too bad, you know, like we cancer recoverers, Peter, in 5 or 10 years, when these processes get to medical treatment, these problems are going to go away, and we just hope those people that are suffering, around long enough to be able to benefit from these experiments.
Cross fingers. Tell you what, mate, let's talk about something nice.
Yeah, nice glass of organic wine.
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, I might have had one or two too many myself yesterday, Peter. It was Orthodox Easter yesterday, or this past weekend,
right.
The celebration was. So. And, of course, as you know, Barbara is Ukrainian, so she was, although she was raised in the United Church, her parents were Ukrainian Greek Orthodox. So we get two Christmases, Peter, and we get two Easters, and we get two of everything.
So you were very pleasantly last night.
Yes, that's it. We were pleasantly celebrating. So had to do it ourselves, Peter. Although Zoom, of course, the face-to-face meeting network, we've been chatting with people through Zoom. We might, I don't know if you guys have Zoom, Peter, but we might try that, because even with the bad internet we had, Zoom seemed to work okay. He had to Canada when we were speaking to our son yesterday. He kept getting messages about how pathetic our internet was.
Oh, charming.
But it seemed to function okay. So.
All right. Mate, this organic wine, your organic wine, can still be obtained. All they have to do is contact you.
Peter, cellarwine.com.au, cellarwine.com.au. Call us on the phone, 657-452-75. We're shipping on a regular basis, so happy to have anybody contact us, and we'll get a very fine drop of wine. Free delivery Australia-wide, Peter.
Yeah, which is a great bonus, because I notice in a lot of things now they give you a terrific price on the item,
yeah,
and then the postage is enough to flatten you.
Yeah, it's, look, I noticed that on eBay.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have figured it out now, and of course free delivery is, you know, quite common. But you've really got to look, you know, because you buy an item, you know, for $15, because of the cheapness, and then as you say, you look down and shipping costs are $12, whereas the item might be sitting next to the other one at $18 with free shipping.
Yeah, well, I saw one $15 for the item and $28 for postage.
Oh, yeah, but you know what? That comes from the facts coming from the United States.
Right, by the lick.
Yeah, you've got to be careful. Well, even the U.S. part is, we're buying vitamins. Some of them are not available. You know, that old Fisetin we talked about, Peter, and a few others we get from the United States. Takes a long time for delivery, but they've figured out even some of those guys are free delivery to Australia.
Oh, that's good.
But most of them are DHL $14, which is, you know, pretty cheap when you consider coming that far.
Sure. Mate, your website?
Yes, cellarwines.com.au, Peter. Go on, and you can, all our broadcasts, Peter, are podcast on the website. You can access them anytime. Hear about what we were talking about on the air. Then go back, Peter, to the times when we were projecting what the infection rate in China was.
Oh.
We got that pretty accurate, I'll tell you. If you go back and hear what we said, we were smack on when it was growing in China. And, of course, we've been pretty accurate, Peter, predicting weeks into the future of what was going to happen in Australia as well.
Oh, I might all install that other program, give it a try.
Yep.
And, you know, thanks for your time.
Thanks very much, and we'll catch up with you later in the week, maybe.
You sure will. Thanks okay. Very much indeed.
Okay, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye now. Now, that website, of course, is acellawine.com.au. All the details are there, and if you're still not sure, give them a tingle.